Welcome to the J.P. Shadrick Podcast. I'm J.P. Shadrick. Today is Tuesday, August 16th, and this is our weekly look at news and people around the Jags organization. Training camp has officially broken. The team checked out of their downtown hotel Sunday, but this is a big week in the preseason. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are coming to Jacksonville. 2 days of practice against the Jaguars just outside of Everbank Field Wednesday and Thursday. And then the preseason week two game against the Bucs is Saturday night at 7:30 here at Everbank Field. A couple of guests on the podcast today. We'll get into the quarterbacks room with QB coach Nathaniel Hackett. An interesting group of four quarterbacks for this Jaguars team. And we'll break down the depth of that room. And we'll go into the Jags office and catch up with Senior Vice President of Communications, Dan Edwards. He's one of six original Jaguars employees left with the organization and has literally seen it all here in Jacksonville. But first, some headlines around the Jags organization. The Jaguars opened the preseason Thursday against the New York Jets, a 17-13 loss. But the overarching theme of the night, the starters looked pretty good. The offense opened with a 12-play drive, mixing in an effective run game with good throws from quarterback Blake Bortles. He and tight end Julius Thomas couldn't connect on a touchdown, and the Jags settled for a field goal on that first drive. But on the next drive, 7 plays, 86 yards, a couple of big catches for Allen Robinson, and a 1-yard touchdown for running back Chris Ivory. Bortles, after the game, was happy with what the first team got accomplished in New York.
Yeah, you know, I think it was. I think we did some good job. We had some guys up front that got a chance to play, and I thought did a good job. You know, I thought we had some big holes in the running game, and I thought we had time to throw the ball, and I thought everything was pretty sharp. Fundamental and mechanically, so I thought it was a good start for sure.
Speaking of that run game, Chris Ivory and TJ Yeldon split reps with the first team, and Ivory finished with 6 carries for 26 yards and showed a glimpse of his power. Yeldon had 26 yards on 4 carries and said after the game that they're confident in where this offense can go.
Coming off, you know, last year, coming at the end of the season, we knew what we could do, what we were capable of, you know. We got some more guys this year, you know, and I felt like we knew what we could do coming in the game. We had to start fast like we always talked about, and we did that, and that was a good thing today.
On defense Thursday night, it was the first NFL action for a handful of players, including defensive end Dante Fowler Jr. It was his first competitive game since January 3rd, 2015 in the Birmingham Bowl with the Florida Gators. An emotional night for Fowler. He was mic'd up for the game. Check it out on Jaguars.com. Rookie linebacker Miles Jack made his debut as well and finished with 2 tackles, but said after the game there's plenty left to work on at the middle linebacker spot.
Just got to play fast, you know what I mean? Mistakes are going to happen and everything, you know, obviously being a rookie, but I really just tried to emphasize on playing fast, getting everybody lined up, and then, you know, going from there. You know, now I think the next step is just being cleaner on my alignments, being cleaner on, you know, indicators from the offense and everything, and taking it to the next level.
On his first snap, rookie defensive end Yannick Ngakoue sacked Ryan Fitzpatrick, a good start for a rush package that featured Ngakoue and Fowler on each side of the line. A few notables did not play against the Jets. Jalen Ramsey to Sean Gibson on defense. On the offensive side, Brandon Linder and Kelvin Beachum on the offensive line. They all missed the game as a precaution, but all returned to the practice field Saturday. Our first guest today on the J.P. Shadrick Podcast is Jaguars quarterbacks coach Nathaniel Hackett. Happy New Year, man. What's up?
Appreciate it. Heck yeah, I'm doing good.
Yeah, this is always fun, right? I mean, I come out, I go to your office a while ago. We got to kind of set things up for this interview.
Set the mood.
So we're in the offices here. The hallways are concrete. There's black and white paint. There's a rubber hallway. It's kind of bland. There's not a lot to it. I go in the coach's offices to grab you, and I hear a water feature in your office. What is going on in there?
Well, the quarterbacks come in and we meet in my office, and it's a little tiny room, and we don't have any windows, and it's a fact that, you know, the more that you're surrounded by nature, the better you can, just the more efficient you are. So the guys, you know, Chad, he picked out one of the murals we put up on the wall, which is a picture of Tuscany.
Oh.
And we got a nice little waterfall picture, and it's a huge, covers the whole wall. And then we got a little water feature, you know, and sometimes it makes you need to use the restroom a lot, which is good because they're hydrating. So we're trying to, you know, we're trying to create that environment. But at the same time, you feel like you're outdoors, and we, you know, sometimes we put the sounds of whales on or birds and stuff like that to try to make us feel more efficient and be able to continue to stay in there for hours upon hours and study film and get better.
I must say, this is about a 10 by 10 foot square room, right?
Yes, it's a small room. We fit 5 people in it. It's awesome.
It sounds awesome. You are a California kid. That's pretty obvious with all this nature stuff.
Oh, I'm from everywhere. I'm from everywhere. I'm a science guy. I'm you name it. Anything to make anybody more efficient. I mean, any way we have an opportunity, you know, with quarterbacks to meet with them for extensive hours, and I think it's all about keeping it fresh, keeping them keeping their minds right, and always being focused. And I think anytime you can do it, especially when you're in a little 10x10 room and you're watching film, I mean, it's hard to stay focused sometimes. So I do anything I can to keep their attention always and stimulate them, because I always want them to enjoy themselves, and I want them to come in that room and be excited to learn and excited to go against other teams. I mean, obviously that's exciting, but to do the amount of work you have to do with these guys, I mean, you got to keep them focused, got to keep it fun and light and exciting.
We'll get through all your guys coming up, Nate. Well, let's start with Blake Bortles in that regard. In the room in there, how has he improved over the last offseason in the playbook, in that setting, in the meeting room?
Wow, I'll tell you. I mean, what he's done since day one that I got here, I mean, when I walked in and started talking with him about just some basic football stuff, I mean, I was a little nervous. I was like, what the
really?
Heck are we doing? I mean, the things that he accomplished before Coach Olsen and I got here are astounding, just as a rookie, the things that he did. And I think that his knowledge about football has grown, I mean, exponentially. I mean, just from understanding defenses, that was his big goal. Throughout this offseason was to understand not only the play, but how the play fits against the defense and what you're trying to look for. And, I mean, just how he studied it, just from fronts to linebacker placements to pressures to coverages and everything. I mean, it's grown so much. I mean, it's funny because we have the young guys in the room, and he sits there now and watches them kind of struggle going, oh, what should I do here? And he's just laughing going, wow, I can't believe just a year ago I was right there. And, I mean, he's just done a marvelous job, and he continues to get better.
On the field, give us a review of his two drives Thursday against the Jets.
I think it's when you can go out there and you feel good about a system and you're not thinking about what the play call is going to be, what I'm supposed to do on this play – I think you're able to really take your game to another level. And I think some of the things that he was doing out there, it's just his comfort level. I mean, compared to the last first preseason game last year to this year, I mean, he understood the plays. He just did some things that, I mean, I don't want to give away to our opponents.
No, don't.
But I mean,
please don't.
I mean, I'm just sitting there going, wow, what is he doing? I mean, there's things that we haven't even practiced that we've got in the playbook that he was doing. I was like, this is awesome. I mean, he it's awesome to watch him play football. You know, I mean, he's out there and he's owning the system. That's what you want. You want a quarterback to know the system better than you as the coach. I mean, that's the ultimate goal. And I think that when you see him out there, I was like, is he doing what I think he's doing? I mean, this is exciting. I mean, those are the fun things. I mean, just his connection with A-Rob and working the run game and working the cadences and working the huddle. I mean, in and out of the huddle. I mean, it was really fun to watch. I was like, this is great.
Nathaniel Hackett is with us, Jaguars quarterbacks coach. There's a lot of folks, you know, the word out there that Blake is not a great practice quarterback, and then he's better in a game, and the lights come on, he's got some moxie to him, he can get things done and then figure out a way in the game. But the practice, not so much. Is he's better at practice. He says he feels more comfortable as a practice player. Is he ever going to be an elite practice guy, or is he?
It's funny. It's hard to really sit there and say that any quarterback is Mr. Practice, and I would much rather have a Mr. Game guy than a Mr. Practice guy. Mm-hmm. I would say that right now, still, Blake is young. None of us can forget that. We can never sit here and say he's arrived or ever think that he doesn't have a long way to go, because he does. Now he's making strides, but he's got a long way. And I think when you're in a practice situation and you throw some of those situations at him consistently over and over, it's a little overwhelming at times. When you're in a 3rd and 4, 3rd and 8, 3rd and 10, 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6, 3rd and 7, I mean, that doesn't happen in real life. So practice isn't necessarily an actual game situation. And when you continually throw those things at him, I mean, in third down, if you're 40% conversion rate, it's really good. So I think that sometimes when you look at it and how things are game planned or it'll make you more efficient in the game. When you're in practice in this time of training, you know, there's going to be ups and downs. Every quarterback's going to struggle when you face 10 third downs in a row. And it's not going to be exactly how you want, but it's about learning what you did wrong, what you did right in each situation, growing and growing and growing. So in the game, it's slower. and it's easier. So you want practice to be as hard as you possibly can. You want to put that pressure on those guys.
Blake Bortles' accuracy last year was in the high 50s, I believe, percentage, right? Completion percentage, somewhere in there.
I think 58, it was like 58, right around
somewhere
there.
Somewhere in there. What's an ideal completion percentage for a guy like Blake? Or do you go that deep into it?
Blake really excels at the deep ball. And our wide receivers are really good at the deep balls, especially A-Rob. So I think whenever you look at a quarterback and what he's good at, you don't want to say it's got to be this. I mean, every quarterback's different. Some are better at the precision pass game that's much closer, and that you're probably going to get a higher completion percentage. Some guys have strong arms, and you want to take shots down the field, and it's exciting, and the crowd goes, and they like that. So that's kind of where we're at, and you're not going to complete that many as you get down the field, regardless of what kind of passer you are. And I think that's something that he does do good, and the explosive plays we have, I mean, you have to kind of continue to do that.
Yeah, sure.
And he'll get better at the position stuff. I mean, those are quick decisions he has to make, and he's still learning that stuff. And I mean, you'd love to see a quarterback over 60%. That's where it kind of was in the beginning. Now there's so much passing that a lot of quarterbacks are starting to get over 60%. That's kind of the norm. But Blake will get there. But right now, the down-the-field stuff is the exciting stuff.
That was realistic crowd noise, by the way. Chad Henne's heard a lot of crowd noise in his time in the league.
No doubt.
Ninth year, back up here. But a guy who is in the head of Blake Bortles and an extra guy to go to. He doesn't have to come to you, doesn't have to go to Ole. He can go to Chad. Hey, Chad's been there and been in the battles, right?
Yeah, Chad's awesome for Blake. I mean, just the way they are in the meeting room, how they prepare, how they work out. I mean, every single thing. I mean, Chad is a true pro. I mean, he is so much fun to have in the room. And you know, it's also one thing for a coach to get on a quarterback and say, you shouldn't do that, or poke fun at him, or what the heck are you doing here? It's another thing when Chad gets to jump in there too. I mean, that gets so much more credibility, and it gives the coaches more credibility. So I think that whenever you have that backup, you know, to be able to help you and to support you as a coach, and that's what Chad does for me and for Coach Olson. I mean, he helps us and believes in us, which helps it so Blake can learn it and understand it more. And I will tell you, it's fun, though, to see, because as Blake gets better, Blake now kind of snaps back at Chad.
A little confidence.
Yeah, it's fun to see how that works. And they have such a great relationship that, you know, I mean, it's one of those things when if Chad messes up, everybody, we start talking about it because Chad's perfect. But I mean, it's awesome. It's such a fun room to be in. I mean, in that little tiny room with the waterfall, I mean, we get to hang out all the time. I mean, it's great. It's a great atmosphere.
Your younger guys, you know, on draft night, on draft weekend, the final day of the draft, we're out there doing our live coverage in the hallway after every pick. Sixth round comes up. Haven't had an offensive player yet. Flash across the screen. Brandon Allen, quarterback, Arkansas. First guy out of the coach's office doing jumping jacks down the hall is Nathaniel Hackett. And are you as excited now as you were on draft night?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, to be able to be with him in the Senior Bowl was huge, I think, for us. To get to know him and to be around him and watch him learn the system and just his demeanor. You know, I mean, he's such a laid-back guy and just loves football. I mean, he's a coach's kid. What can I say? Kids are awesome.
He's in a pod, you two.
No doubt. But he's been a great addition. I mean, he's a young guy, very talented, very great, very good arm talent. I mean, he's picking up the system well, still has a long, long way to go. But he's another guy that fits great in that room and just, you know, sky's the limit for what he can do.
When you say arm talent, what do you mean by arm talent of Brandon Allen? What does he do well?
His accuracy and his ability to get the ball out of his hand is really good. I mean, there were a couple times in the game when, you know, he was fading right or had some pressure on him, and he still was able to deliver the ball right where he wanted to. And I think that's, you know, in essence what you always want. I mean, you always want a quarterback that can when it comes down to I mean it's one of those things when a quarterback's got a perfect pocket and he's just hanging out there and throwing it to a guy that's standing still. You know, a lot of people can do that. When a guy's moving, less people can do that. But when a guy's under distress or doesn't know what's going on with the protector or gets nervous and he's got to hit a guy on the run in an accurate manner, that's when you're really excited. And I think that's something that he does good with his – and it's going to be exciting to see where he goes from here.
Let's finish with Max Wittick. It's tough for him to get reps right now. It's training camp. I mean, he's got three guys ahead of him. You got to get Blake reps. You got to get Chad out there. Allen's a draft pick. So for Wittick, and I got to go to Ryan O'Halloran's story a while back here. He only threw 366 passes in his college career, where Bortles had over 800. Henny had nearly 1,400. He just hasn't played a lot of football.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you, Max has been a great surprise. I mean, he's a guy that when we were able to bring him in from Hawaii, we were really excited. I mean, he's got a very strong arm. Another great guy in the room. I mean, I think that's been something that's been really great. Whenever you get people in a room, it's such an intimate room, and there's so much stuff we have to cover, and we have to work so hard that you want guys that get along. You don't want a bad guy, I guess you can say. And that's something that Max has been great with, and he's picked up the system well. He's taken advantage of every opportunity he's had out on the practice field. And, I mean, his arm is big. I mean, it's like he can throw the ball. Just the other day, he rolled left through, 70 yards back to the right. I mean, it was awesome. It was really exciting. But I mean, those are the things that he brings. I mean, he's a great guy in the room, and I'm excited to see him develop every day also.
You can never have too many quarterbacks.
No, you can't. I think the first year I was in the NFL, I was at Tampa with John Gruden. I think we had 9 quarterbacks on the roster, whether it was PUP or something. And I was like, is this normal? I was like, I mean, we had tons of guys. So, I mean, you can never. I mean, it's arguably the most important position in football, maybe even in sports. And I think you can never have enough. You can never develop guys enough. And it's so hard to develop guys nowadays with the amount of time that we have them, the small amount of practice time we have. I mean, you have to do everything you can to try to get them better.
Let's finish with the Bucs practice this week. I think the last time another team came in here to practice the Jaguars was 2011. I wasn't here yet. A lot of folks in the building weren't here yet. So have you been involved with a dual practice? And what's the scene going to be like this
year? I have. My second year at the Buffalo Bills, so 2 years ago, we had the opportunity. We went up to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and we got to go against them. So it was pretty fun. I mean, it was pretty intense. It definitely changes kind of the demeanor of practice. And for me, I mean, heck, I mean, Dick LeBeau was there, and here I am practicing against him. I was a little nervous. I'm like,
you're ready to light this guy up. Let's go.
Well, it's funny because I wanted to be all, you know, oh yeah, here we're going to go. But I'm like, man, that's Dick LeBeau. He's awesome. And so it was great. I mean, just the work you get. I mean, camp is so long, and we go against each other every single day. And then you've got these preseason games that have some extended time. And it's fun because once you get to these practices, you get to go against somebody else. It's a different color jersey, and it just raises the level of competition. And everybody's more excited. Everybody wants more reps. Everybody wants more one-on-ones. And I think that's what you're always kind of looking for, and it's hard to create that when you're going against the same guys every single day. And we still do, but it just makes it a lot easier when you bring another team in. And it's exciting. I mean, it's very intense. At least the one that I was at was intense. It was funny because Beecham and I were talking about it because he was actually at the
he was at
the Steelers when we did that, and it was great. I had a lot of guys that I knew on that Steelers staff, so a lot of trash talking going back and forth. So it was a real good time.
Should be fun this week, and should be fun this entire year with the quarterbacks coach Nathaniel Hackett with us. Good to see you as always. You're always
appreciate
the best.
It.
Thanks, man.
No, don't say that. I just enjoy talking football with anybody and everybody.
Our thanks to quarterbacks coach Nathaniel Hackett for jumping in this week. And now to the front office. Dan Edwards is the senior vice president of communications for the Jags and one of the handful of original Jags employees left on staff. As one of six still here, he's seen literally everything in Jaguars history firsthand and has been a part of the decision-making process around here for most, if not all, of that time. Lots to discuss, including the changes to Everbank Field, the expectations of the football team in 2016, and why now was the right time for Jimmy Smith to be inducted into the pride of the Jaguars. What's up?
A lot of things are up. It's a big time of year in the football business.
Absolutely. The team's back on the practice field. Preseason is here. What is it? Season 22, right? Officially for the Jags?
Jags season 22. That's right.
If my math is right.
Yeah, you got it.
You've seen all 21 of them so far.
Yeah.
And one of the, how many, there's only like 6 original employees left, right?
That's right. Yeah. It's a dwindling number.
you know. And
but I'm honored to be one of them.
That's no doubt about that. We'll go through your career. We'll talk a little Jaguars coming up with you. But this all started for you in the NFL as an intern in the league office, right?
Right. Yeah. 1984. After graduate school, was fortunate enough to get an internship in the PR department in the NFL office in New York, and started my career there.
So you wanted to be a PR guy all along. That was your thing?
You know, no. Actually, it's funny because I was a business major undergrad. And you know, like most college students, by the time they graduate, they try to figure out what they want to do now. And in thinking about it, I wanted to use my business degree somehow. And I thought about, you know, what kind of business would I really enjoy working in? And I grew up like you and a lot of people playing sports. And I thought, you know, business in sports would be pretty cool. And that was at a time where it was pretty new. It was pretty uncommon. But there was I found out through a friend at school about a master's program, you know, in sports administration and facility management at Ohio University, and was able to get in there at that program, and that led to my internship. So I was wanting to work in sports, but specifically PR was not really on the radar. It was kind of at that time, sports, you started out in PR. It's like the corporate world. They put you in sales at the start. Right. And in football, they put you in PR at the beginning.
You were interns at the time with Roger Goodell. Is that right?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, he had actually had interned just before me in the PR department and then gone to work for the Jets for a year. So the season, he had just come back to the league office when I got there as an intern. So, yeah, we knew each other way back when, and he's clearly had a better career than I have.
A different path, we'll say, than you have. Dan Edwards with the Senior VP of Communications. You moved on to the Miami Dolphins for a year and then spent a lot of time with the Pittsburgh Steelers before coming to the Jaguars in 94. The Steelers gig, that was kind of your big break, right?
It really was. That was my first full-time job. Yeah, the Dolphins, one season with the Dolphins was another internship, and then I got the full-time job in the Steelers PR department right before the 85 season, and ended up spending 9 years there, and that was really where I learned the business. Yeah, really where I learned the PR business in this league, and met a lot of people and made a lot of contacts and kind of, yeah, cut my teeth there, yeah.
Your coverage here with the Jaguars is public relations, digital media, and broadcasting. So right. What are your day-to-day duties? What are you doing today, Dan?
It varies. I just, you know, a few meetings, and it's everything from game ops, like preparing, you know, this week's our first home game, so there are a lot of things to go through and prepare for, make sure the press box is set and ready and that the renovations they've been doing are finished. Detail things like that, things like credentials for the game and press box meals and just general, you know, ops kind of things. And then with the digital group, making sure today's not a practice day, so everybody's not out on the field at practice, but on practice days we're out there kind of making sure that everybody's getting what they need and getting things taken care of. So it kind of varies from one day to the next, but that's one of the great things about it.
Dan, you've been here since day one, but it doesn't happen often in the NFL, an ownership change. You were around for that, and a lot of folks around here. Actually, there might not be as many people around here since the ownership change happened late in 2011, starting in 2012, and the Cons took over for the Weavers. The process of seeing that from the inside in your position, how challenging is that in your position, an ownership change?
It's very challenging, and that's not one of the things that you really can prepare for very much. You just kind of, if it comes along, you have to deal with it and learn as you go. Fortunately, I was, knew what was coming, and Wayne, you know, let me know what was coming so I could prepare. And I got in touch with Shad's PR guy right away, and we began working together, you know, from our perspective on handling things. And it's been a great process. So Jim Woodcock and I to this day are very good friends and work very well together. But you really, there's a lot of things that you have never really thought about handling or dealing with until you're faced with an ownership change and the team selling and all that is all involved in that. But it's a great learning experience, I'll say that.
You've seen almost everything a PR person can see in the league. The birth of a franchise. You were one of the first employees here. Mm-hmm. Success on the football field early. Not so great success after that. The change in ownership, London, all this has been thrown in. What else is there Super Bowl, I guess, right?
Yeah, we've had some coaching changes along the way, too. But, yeah, Super Bowl is kind of the one that's still out there, what we're all aiming at.
You've covered many Super Bowls, though. You still go back almost mm-hmm. every year. How many Super Bowls have you covered now?
I think 29. And that started, you know, actually my year with the Dolphins, we played in the Super Bowl. That was Super Bowl 19 and played against the 49ers at Stanford Stadium and lost that game. And I thought, you know, this is great. My first year in the league and going to the Super Bowl, you know, and actually it was people saying that was Dan Marino's big year. And a lot of people were saying he'll be back many times and he never got back again. And so you realize how difficult it is to get there. It's been 31, 32 years since then. Yeah, it's time to go to a Super Bowl and have our team go to the Super Bowl.
Dan Edwards with us, the Senior Vice President of Communications for the Jaguars. Since the ownership change, this stadium has been in constant construction, renovation, mm-hmm. video boards, clubs, now the amphitheater and the flex field. And
yeah,
could you have imagined this 10 years ago?
No, not at all. And in fact, 10 years ago, our stadium was fairly new and one of the more modern stadiums. And you look around the league and how many new stadiums have gone up, all of a sudden, if you're not keeping up with technology, you've really fallen behind. And so you got to give a lot of credit to Shad Khan and to Mark Lamping and to their vision for what, this stadium needed and the renovation, not only seeing and envisioning it, but in Shad's case, putting his money into it too, along with the city. And you know, of course, that's been a great partnership with the city and the support from the mayor and the city council. But as Mark has said, if you're not constantly improving, then you're falling behind. And so to have people who want to make it continually better every year, it's something new. And it's not just, so you can say there's something new, but you want the fan experience to get better every year and you want to offer things every season, so when your fans come back, there's something new, there's something exciting. And that's aside from what's on the field. Hopefully, what's on the field gets better every year. But you want to make the experience a great thing.
You mentioned Mark Lamping. If you're not constantly improving, you're falling behind. Well, the football side seems to be constantly improving. Yeah. We haven't seen it on the results side of the business yet, but that's the big hope this year. The expectations from outside the building are sky high. I think it's higher since I've been around, and I got here in 2012. Have you seen, when was the last time you saw expectations this high for a Jaguars football
team? Yeah, it was the early years. It was the late 90s, maybe 2000, when we were coming off four straight playoff appearances. And that's fun. That's great times. People who were around here who went to Jaguars games at that time would have great memories from that. So, yeah, it's been a long dry spell. But I agree, this right now is the most optimistic I think the city has been and our fans have been and even the media has been in probably 15 years, and that's largely based on the offseason that we've had with all the signings and the good drafts and the way things seem to be coming together on the roster.
You've been around a long time. Do you buy it?
Yeah, I really do. I think there's no question we're better on paper. It's the most talented roster we've had in a long time. The key now is that's got to translate to winning games. And Dave and Gus and everybody knows that. That's the goal. That's why you go out and try to get the best players you can get and add them to the roster and hope that translates to wins.
Dan, let's finish with the pride of the Jaguars. Jimmy Smith will be inducted into the pride December 11th during the Minnesota Vikings game here at Everbank Field. You've known Jimmy from the start when he came over to the Jaguars the first time, through his success, through his off-field issues, and now after all that. Jimmy Smith into the pride. Too late to get it done? Is this the right time? Should you have waited a while? Why now?
It's the right time, I think. And I can remember having a conversation with Wayne Weaver after Jimmy retired and, talking about the fact that Jimmy deserves to be in the pride of the Jaguars. And I think at that time, Tony Boselli was probably the only one in. And Wayne agreed, but he said, let's wait and let Jimmy get the legal issues and these other things sorted out and find the right time. And it took a while. It took longer, but as you know, Jimmy was here last week, spent 3 days here, seems to be doing great, really does. I know he wants to move back to Jacksonville as well and wants to re-engage with the organization, re-engage with the fans. So I think the time is Right, and I think Jimmy would agree that he understands why it didn't happen before, and there's no question he deserves to be up there. So we look forward to recognizing him in December.
And there's always, you ask all the Pride members and the guys going in, hey, who's next?
Right.
Right?
Right.
Well, who's next, Dan?
Well, there's a few good candidates, aren't there?
Yeah.
That's the fun of it. And you know, that's the nice thing is we don't have a set time frame. You don't have to put somebody in every year. You know, it's really, you want to make sure that you maintain the integrity of it, that it's really an elite honor that is reserved for very few. And sure, there's some others that probably deserve to be up there. I would say right now Tom Coughlin deserves to be up there. There are probably some other players, maybe Tony Brackens, maybe Keenan, maybe Maurice Jones-Drew. So it's fun, and it's fun to talk about, and we'll see as time goes on who ends up getting their name put up on the building.
Dan Edwards, Senior Vice President of Communications for the Jaguars. I know you're a busy man, especially on a Monday, and we appreciate your time coming in here, man.
No, I enjoyed it. My pleasure. Thanks, JP.
Coming up this week, after Monday off, the team returns to the practice field Tuesday, and then they'll welcome in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for practice Wednesday and Thursday. Plenty of familiar faces down in Tampa, by the way, including head coach Dirk Cutter, a former offensive coordinator here, Mike Smith, the former Falcons head coach, and Jags defensive coordinator. He's the defensive coordinator in Tampa now. Mark Duffner is the linebackers coach for the Bucs. Paul Spicer is the assistant defensive line coach still there, just to name a few. Should be a fun couple of days here at the practice fields. Registration to watch those practices, well, it's closed, and it booked up in a hurry. We'll have select live coverage on Jaguars.com from practice each day. Saturday is called Football Night in Jacksonville, by the way. Jacksonville Armada FC is facing Minnesota United in the afternoon across the street at Community First Park. And then at 7:30 Saturday, the Jaguars and Bucks game kicks off. Discounted tickets are available at Jaguars.com/FNIJ. Also on Monday, the Jaguars announced the Everbank On the Prowl sweepstakes, where one grand prize winner each regular season home game will get to escort the Jags through the prowl on game day. And they'll get two club tickets, a parking pass, and pregame sideline access. It's pretty awesome. Register at everbank.com/prowl. And join us Thursday night for Jaguars Radio, the Gus Bradley Show with Jeff Lagerman, and the head coach starts at 6 p.m. on the entire Jaguars Radio Network. It's followed at 7 o'clock on our flagship station here in Jacksonville, 1010XL, by Jaguars Thursday, where I'm sure I'll take some heat for losing the Jaguars Stadium 5K to Tony Boselli. With almost zero training, I got 34.57. I'll take it. Our thanks to Jaguars quarterbacks coach Nathaniel Hackett and to Jaguars Senior Vice President of Communications Dan Edwards. And as always, a special thanks to Jags Manager of Radio Joe Fortunato. Thanks to you for listening. We'll talk to you next week on the JP Shadrick Podcast.